You're listening to Red Eye on the Rabble Podcast Network. My name is Jane Williams, and I encourage you to support Rabble during their 2009 winter fundraising campaign. Go to rabble.ca to find out how.
On Monday, journalists attending the UN Climate Change Conference in Copenhagen were surprised to read a press release stating that Canada had reversed its position on climate change. The press release quoted Canada's Environment Minister, Jim Prentice. He reportedly said that contributing to the development of other nations and taking full responsibility for its emissions was simple Canadian good sense. 30 minutes later, another press release, again purporting to be from Environment Canada, congratulated itself on Uganda's excited response to the earlier announcement. 1 hour later, a release from the real Environment Canada called the spoof a moral misfire and blamed the people who sent it out for raising false hopes among people most affected by climate change. The elaborate hoax was spearheaded by a group of concerned Canadian citizens, the Climate Debt Agents from ActionAid, and the Yes Men. ActionAid is an international anti-poverty organization. Frans Michael Jansen is General Secretary of MS ActionAid Denmark, and he joins me on the line from Copenhagen. Good morning, Frans Michael.
Good morning to you.
Why did you choose Canada as the target of this spoof?
I mean, there were a number of countries we could have selected, and Canada is among those countries that have been really poor in living up to the expectations in terms of trying to fight climate change, and has been awarded the Fossil of the Year now in 2 years in consecutive years by the Climate Network. And I think, you know, and that was one reason. So it was clearly one of the countries that needs to be shamed and blamed. And secondly, because there was actually a number of activists from Canada in Copenhagen at this time that was part of the game, and they haven't wanted to come forward, but they were part of setting it up.
Now, as I mentioned in my introduction, the spoof had two parts. There was the fake reversal of government policy, followed by the fake reaction by a delegate from Uganda. What was the significance of that second press release?
Well, it was actually to say, you know, it was good to have a response that I think the developing countries are really looking would be looking forward to getting some compensations for the CO2 emissions that the rich world has created and the problem in terms of climate. So it would be natural to have a kind of response of saying, finally, you're moving. It's great to see you appreciating the problems that you caused, and we are embracing your policy shift. So it was sort of, you know, genuinely appreciating this from those people who are suffering from the CO2 emissions.
Now, I actually did see the fake Environment Canada website that you put up, and it was pretty convincing. You actually managed to follow the government's own visual standards, which is a pretty hard thing to do.
Yeah, and I think what you missed in the introduction, which I think was quite interesting, was that we actually also sent out a false denial on behalf of the Environment Ministry, and that was something that quite a lot of media in Canada accepted as a true denial. And I mean, if I quote something from it, I think it's quite funny, actually, also that it was appreciated as being a real one. Of course, later there was a real denial from Canada, but in the first one that was accepted, it says, "It is the height of cruelty, hypocrisy, and immorality to infuse with false hopes the spirit of people who are already and will additionally bear the brunt of climate change's terrible human effects," says Jim Prentice. So it was like, you know, already in the false denial that we put out, you know, saying, you know, how can you give false hope to Ugandans and others that we are really changing our policy? And I thought that was quite a funny way of putting it, actually.
So in fact, you preempted their predictable denial, which came after that.
It came half an hour later, yeah, the real denial. But our denial was actually quoted as the real denial.
What was the Canadian government's response to your spoof?
What I've seen on the media, I thought they were sort of hilariously overreacting, actually. You know, it was a spoof, and you know, I think they came forward with, you know, quite strongly, which I was a bit surprised to actually. And I've been listening to some of the speeches that they've made, and I think it's, I mean, one thing is if you have a policy and you can sort of, you can explain or you can try to say why you have to do it this way or why it's difficult. For example, in the case of America, I mean, obviously the population is not behind any sort of progressive climate policy, and that's a problem for Obama. But I think in the rhetoric that Canada has been put forward, it kind of pretends that they really want to do something, but in real fact, they're not. And I was also surprised with the sort of kind of overreaction in the press meeting afterwards, where they sort of really went after this and said this is very damaging and so on and so forth. I was surprised by that response, actually.
What is the notion of climate debt that is so central to your message?
Well, the thing is that where if you're talking about development assistance as such, we're talking about, as I see it, a moral obligation of countries that have greater wealth to support poverty eradication in countries where people are suffering and starving and so on. So, the development assistance is a concept of moral duty. But you can actually argue. I mean, there can be different points of why are some countries poor, why are some people poor, and who has the responsibility for this. But if you're moving into the issue of climate and the effects of the changing climate for poor people in the world, then there's no doubt that those who caused this problem are us countries in the north, in the richer part of the world, that have overconsumed for quite some time and have created the problem by the carbon emissions. So you can say here you can easily and directly point the finger at those countries who are still doing that and have been doing that of causing a real problem. And therefore you can say, okay, so we are causing the problem. We have a debt to the countries and the people who are now suffering from the effects of that.
How widely is that concept of climate debt accepted?
Well, that's what we're trying to push with our campaign, of course, and I think it's been during the COP15 as well, it's been more recognized that this is an issue, and I think originally it was actually Bolivia that brought it up as a concept, and we've taken it on. And it's more and more developing countries are using that concept. I think in terms of a lot of the politicians in the north are accepting that there is an obligation, as they say, but not a debt as such. Because if you're talking about a debt, then you're talking about a legal obligation. And I think they're afraid of agreeing to that, because if there is a legal obligation, which normally is the case with a debt, then you know there is it's a different matter, and they would like to keep it as a moral obligation or a duty, which they to a large extent accept in more progressive countries in rich countries.
Now on Thursday, ActionAid's climate debt agents repossessed the U.S., Canadian, Japanese, and Swedish embassies, together with the Australian ambassador's residence in Copenhagen. What was the significance of that action?
Well, it was, again, what we wanted to do with our campaign. We wanted to put the debt issue clearly on the media and on the attention of ordinary citizens. So we thought it was a natural reaction, as we could see that rich country were not coming forward to in any meaningful way actually living up to the needs of providing finance for developing countries. And you know, if you were an individual private citizen that owes a debt, I mean, somebody will come and repossess your property or something to claim the debt. And we thought it would be a logical step to say, well, if countries aren't paying their debt, we'll have to find a way to repossess values that we can then sell and bring the money. So it's a bit of a way of getting attention internationally and in the media to what is it we're talking about, what is climate debt, and why is it something that is more than a moral obligation.
Now, yesterday there was an agreement of sorts reached in Copenhagen, and this morning I took a quick scan of some of the websites on the internet, and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation called it a sketchy deal. The BBC reports that the UN calls it a start and that critics call it a failure. CNN had it buried far down in their news, and they just said there was a deal reached and they had no critical response. What's your reaction to the deal?
I mean, we call it a clear failure. I mean, a failure in terms of the hopes that had been put for international society and for community and the sort of world leadership to actually take this issue seriously. There's been an acknowledgement internationally now by political leaders that it is a true problem, but they were obviously unable to resolve it or put into place a plan that would give a just and ambitious and binding commitment to dealing with the problem. So I think we are left with, you know, close to a disaster in Copenhagen. I think the only thing which is really can give us some hope is that they haven't tried to greenwash it. I mean, they haven't said, you know, we did the deal. They are saying in the statement, we know we haven't done the deal. We know that there's a long way to go. We know that we have to give further commitments. We are ready to already in Germany in June to proceed to find solutions to this, and we haven't solved the problem. And I think that's what gives us some hope that they're not trying to say that they actually made something with any success out of the meeting as such. And we just have to keep up the pressure and get more and more people demanding from their leadership to act on this.
Well, I very much appreciate your joining me this morning, Frans Michael.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Frans Michael Jansen, the General Secretary of MS ActionAid Denmark, and he joined me today from Copenhagen.